So we are now done with the technicalities of this bhajan. Let's move on to the soul of this bhajan. The soul of a bhajan is the heart behind the singing. And Brother Sonam Gyamso, a former student of Bhagwan's University, shares his thoughts and his musical journey with this bhajan. Let's reflect on this bhajan through the words of Brother Sonam Gyamso. Sai Ram, Brother Sonam, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Studios and to this program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram Vishu.
Today we have the bhajan which adores our beloved Bhagwan as the mother.
Oh, such a beautiful bhajan.
Devi Sai Ma, Devi Saraswati Ma.
Oh, so beautiful.
I think you must have sung this bhajan so many times during your student days and after that.
Yeah, this is one of the most popular bhajans that not only me, but all of us, we have been singing. Generations of students have been singing here in Prashanti Nilayam.
And I thought we must dwell on this bhajan.
Yeah, why not? Can we start with, I would love to sing this bhajan once.
Sure.
Devi Sai Ma, Devi Saraswati Ma, Devi Sai Ma, Devi Saraswati Ma. Can we sing it together?
Sure.
Durga Bhavani Ma,
Durga Bhavani Ma,
Kali Kapalini Ma,
Kali Kapalini Ma,
Jagato Dharini Ma,
Jagato Dharini Ma,
Jagato Dharini Ma,
Jagato Dharini Ma,
Sai Daya Kari Ma,
Satya Sai Daya Kari Ma,
Devi Sai Ma, Devi Saraswati Ma.
Amazing. It's really wonderful that so effortlessly we refer to Bhagwan as the mother.
Yeah. That thought was crossing my mind even this afternoon when I was thinking that how is it possible for one, an individual, a male individual, to be addressed as the mother by people without feeling any inhibition within them.
Yes.
And then in such a natural state.
Correct.
Unless he is the mother, it would not have been possible.
It's really amazing, you know. You don't even think when you write letters to Bhagwan, you write, dearest mother Sai, and you know, when you sing, you adore him and you plead him as your mother, please listen to my prayer. It comes so naturally.
So naturally.
And we don't even think that no, Swami is actually a form which he has taken the form of a person.
Yes.
Of a male.
And not only that, the reciprocation from Bhagwan
that is how he has
responded. Yeah, is equally unique. Because the moment you call him as mother, he appears as the mother.
As the mother.
He appears to you not only as the mother, he talks to you like a mother, he walks around like a mother. You remember him
exactly. Just
pulling a tuft of hair.
Yes.
And then he would look so beautiful.
Yes. Actually, any point you feel of time. So comfortable relating to Swami as mother than anything else.
Yes. And it's so profound. Whenever we talk about Bhagwan as mother, imagine calling a man, you are my mother, that man would just explode.
But from Swami, you can see that love.
See that love.
When you address him as a mother.
Yes, definitely.
And you saw all those beautiful facets of the mother. It was that love. It was also that grace. It was also that
the beauty.
That beauty. Everything yes. was there.
When Swami would walk.
And that possessiveness we used to have. No?
Yes, yes. And when Swami would walk, come walking for darshan in the morning, he would be just, you know, holding the hem of his robe in his hand.
Yes.
And exactly like a mother, he would just glide around. How beautiful.
Amazing. Amazing. There is something so striking about the form, when this formless aspect, you
yes.
know, Nirakara, when he chose this beautiful form of Satya Sai, many times I used to think how he was so perfect in choosing a form which was endearing to all sections of society, all genders, all nationalities. They're South African. Now we have devotees from South Africa and Prashantinilaya.
Yeah, yeah.
They connect to Swami because they feel Swami is like South African because of his Afro hair.
Yes, yes.
You have Americans who feel Swami looks very cool with all that hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And you women find so much one with him because of the way his robe flows. And the hair is, they feel very much one with him.
Yes.
Men find one with him because the way he walks, there is that majesty about him. Candor about him.
Yes.
There is that persona.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone feels one with him, you know, be it nationalities or be it sections of society or whether male or female or a child. That is the beauty of the form.
Yeah, he would easily blend with everyone. Identify with everyone because he is everything. He is that. That is the proof, that testimony that he is everyone put together, the totality, the absolute totality. And it's so beautiful and so evident whenever we just look at him.
And I think you always feel so. Your heart actually becomes like a sponge when you address Bhagwan as mother.
Yes.
And Bhagwan also responds like that.
Beloved mother. And what about his voice? The texture of his voice.
Yes.
It was neither, you know, you couldn't really, it was, you know, from one point of view, so manly.
Mm.
And then again, you could hear the voice of your mother in that voice, you know, when Swami
exactly.
would talk
it
to you.
It is not fully manly.
Yeah.
At the same time, it is not fully like
exactly.
a female voice.
Ardhan Aishwar or whatever you call it.
Absolutely.
There are no words, you know,
amazing.
To really describe.
Amazing. Never really thought about it. It's fantastic.
Just like Yato Vaso Nivartanti Aprapya Manasasaha. No words really can fully describe. Neither his words, his voice, his tone, his tenor, his face, anything about him. So much beyond description and comprehension. So beautiful.
I mean, you need his grace. You need that blessing of Mother Saraswati to even sort of contemplate on him.
Contemplate on him.
In this manner, I would feel.
And when I was thinking of this, singing this bhajan just now, I'm reminded of one moment in Vrindavan when I was doing my 12th standard.
Mm-hmm.
That is pre-university, second year.
Mm-hmm.
Then Swami suddenly asked me, how's your spiritual progress? And he would ask everyone. And that day was my turn, my chance. So he said, what do you do in the morning? How do you wake up in the morning? You know, those were initial days when the mother is teaching you.
Mm-hmm.
The weaning period later on becomes quite difficult. But then when he has to really hold you very close to him, you know, hold you very close to her. This is how I would say.
Mm.
Then it would be all teaching and teaching and teaching in the most practical manner. And then he said, how do you wake up in the morning? I said, Swami, I say, Karagre Vasare Lakshmi, Karmadhi Saraswati, Karmulidu Govindam, Prabhate Kardashana. And Swami said, what does it mean? What do you mean by Karagri Vaste Lakshmi? So I said that I'm praying that Saraswati and Lakshmi, all of them should be with me.
Yes.
I said that. And Swami said, no, you really didn't quite understand the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Saraswati? Swami asked.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, Swami, you should tell me. Swami said, Saraswati is your conscience.
Someone told that?
Swami said that. And then, why should you say karagre agra in the front, in the right in the front of your fingertips should be
karagre vasate lakshmi. Kara is hand.
Yeah.
Agra is the at the top. Right?
At the top, front. At the tip, in the front.
Tip. So the tip of the hand resides lakshmi. First
then
lakshmi.
Swami said lakshmi is, you know, dynamic activism. It's the everyday commerce of life. So you have to go through that, those transactions throughout the day. So when you are living your life, which is symbolized by Lakshmi, you should pray that you should be guided by your conscience, which is Saraswati.
Oh, when you are leading your life?
Yeah. When you are living your life, let the process be so vibrant.
Of earning your livelihood and going through the rigmarole of life,
yes,
be done with the concurrence of conscience.
Of concurrence of conscience. And with God as the basis. Karmuletu Govindam Prabhate Gardashanam. So, Swami.
The center is Saraswati. Karmadhe Saraswati.
Karmadhe Saraswati. Karmuletu Govindam. So, at the mool is the,
is
Govinda. Foundation is God. So, once you have that in your palms, your handful of such wonderful blessings, then you cannot be, you cannot go wayward. You cannot go wrong anywhere. Because you are all the time living in God.
I mean, the foundation of your life and living should have God as the basis.
Yes.
And it should be centered through conscience.
Conscience, which
centered
is
centered on the conscience.
Conscience.
Karmadhe Saraswati.
Karmadhe Saraswati. So throughout, right from those days till now, till this date, like I don't read too many books because I find everything written in Bhagwan's literature. There is no subject, nothing that Swami has hasn't taught.
Absolutely.
And when I think of those days, you know, those initial days of my life, and till this day, I find Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba has been all the time teaching us the inner meaning.
Yes.
The, you know, the things that are otherwise unseen.
Yes.
Teaching us, literally teaching us how to become seers.
Yes.
How to really, you know, how to yearn for those expressions, to see those expressions, unseen things, you know, things that are so subtle, to go beyond what is seen. This is how he had been teaching us. So his teaching was that Saraswati is the one who plays the veena and sits on a lotus, you know, flower. It's not that. It's an imagery.
Yes.
of the truth that Bhagwan has been teaching us. And right from my initial days in Vrindavan, this is how I learned. So when I do Karagri Vaste Lakshmi, wake up in the morning, these are the vibrant thoughts that come to my mind.
Amazing.
And how profound.
How profound. Amazing. And I think very rightly you said, you know, right from very early age, when you were just 12th class, he told you something which you have to ruminate all your life.
Yes.
It'll keep giving you new meanings all your
exactly.
life.
Exactly. And that too at the break of dawn.
The peak.
When you are just starting the day with that, with those profound thoughts. It's so beautiful. So Devi Sai Ma, Devi Saraswati Ma, this is how I, you know, these are the thoughts that come to my mind. And I think these are the thoughts that would cross everybody's mind whenever you sing a bhajan like this, so profound. Devi Sai Ma. And it's the first thought is about Sai as the mother goddess. And as your mother. And Devi Saraswati Ma. It doesn't say Durga Ma. It doesn't say Lakshmi Ma. But this bhajan, this particular bhajan, Devi Saraswati Ma, is so beautiful. Then Durga Bhavani Ma, Kali Kapalini Ma.
Amazing. I think very rightly you said Devi Sai Ma, then Devi Saraswati Ma.
Saraswati Ma.
Because the facet of the Divine Mother, which is enabling us to recognize the Divine Mother, is that facet of Saraswati.
Exactly.
Because I remember once very beautifully Swami said, just like you were saying, how he always taught us the inner meaning of everything.
Yeah.
Bhagwan once said that you have the picturization of Saraswati on the swan.
Yeah.
Hamsa.
Hamsa.
In Sanskrit is called as Hamsa.
Yeah.
And Swami said, what is this Hamsa? Which is the swan on which is Mother Saraswati sitting? And then Bhagwan in that discourse said, this is actually Hamsa Gayatri.
Oh.
It is not the swan, it is Hamsa Gayatri. And Hamsa Gayatri, Swami said, is Soham.
Soham. Oh.
The Swami used to say, this is the Hamsa Gayatri. I am that.
Your inhalation and exhalation says that.
Says that I am God.
Yeah, I am God.
I am that. I am that. That's what Bhagwan used to say. Tattvamasi. So Bhagwan said, every time you breathe in and breathe out,
yeah,
that is Hamsa Gayatri. And you are able to do this, it is because of the grace of the mother. Mother Saraswati is in you, he's riding on this Hamsa Gayatri. That is the reason why you are able to breathe. That is the reason why you are alive. That is the reason why you are able to speak. Because you are able to breathe, you are able to speak, you are able to think, you are able to sing, you are able to communicate, articulate. It is only because of the grace of
Maha Saraswati.
So that is what is meant by Mother Saraswati being on the swan.
Yeah. And on this, I still remember Swami guiding the bhajan singers and telling them about, not only about the Hamsa Gayatri, but the Bijakshar Hum.
Uh-huh.
The Bijakshar Hum relates to the throat region, which is the Vishuddhi Chakra region. So esoterically, when you are every day articulating so hum, that hum becomes so powerful that it makes your, it really reshapes your, the texture of your voice. That's what Swami was telling. Every day if you are dwelling on so hum, and if you are really articulating it.
Chanting Om also does. It energizes the Vishuddhi Chakra.
Vishuddhi Chakra. Because the hum, the element of hum is there in that. So even if you chant so hum every day, 21 times if you do it in 10 minutes, Swami was telling, your voice becomes very vibrant, beautiful, very melodious. So every day you should do that, Swami was telling once.
I think so many singers also have this experience of, who can vouch for this, that chanting Omkaram in the morning has totally shaped and improved, molded the quality of their voice.
Exactly. Even some other time we were talking about how Swami would tell us that if you sing bhajan properly, bhajan singing bhajan is the best, the highest way of doing pranayam. Swami said the best pranayam is bhajan singing.
Oh.
Swami simplifies everything so beautifully.
Best pranayam is bhajan singing.
Best pranayam is bhajan singing, because when you are singing bhajan, you are glorifying God, which is, you are glorifying the self, and at the same time dwelling on such a level, such a state, you are doing it through a proper blend of, intake and outtake of breath. So when the breath is regulated in such a profound manner, it's the best pranayam, Swami said. So when you are singing bhajan, all the ashtanga yoga, everything is accomplished in the frame, within the frame of a bhajan. That's what Swami was telling. Because you cannot sit, in a crooked manner, in a crooked posture and sing bhajan. You have to sit straight. So your asana is pakka, perfect. And then when you sing bhajan, you are doing pranayam. You are doing pratyahara, because unless you withdraw yourself away from the external world of external stimuli, you cannot really sing bhajan properly. These are the rules, Swami said. When you sing bhajan, you are a yogi. So to become a proper yogi, I'm not really, without going so deep into it, the Arya, the Ashtanga yoga is practiced in the span of a bhajan, Swami said, and it sounded so simple and so logical. So, when we are singing bhajan and then saying that, talking about Saraswati first, and then after that Durga Bhavani Ma, Kali Kapalini Ma, the more dynamic aspect of Saraswati, at one point of time Swami was telling us that Prajna is Saraswati. Prajnanam Brahma, we say.
Yes.
So if Prajna is Saraswati, even
that wisdom, right?
Yeah, that wisdom.
That's what is discrimination and that conscience, as Bhagavan told you.
Exactly. So if prajna is, you know, there are a lot of people who get into different polemics, whether about the dynamic aspect and the static aspect, you know, the male aspect and female aspect and so many things. But Swami simplifies everything and says that the mother goddess, she embodies both the dynamic aspect and static aspect, the being and becoming both. It's so beautiful. As Saraswati, she is the being aspect, whom the absolute, the transcendental, whom we have to one day merge into. And as Lakshmi and Durga, she is the dynamic aspect of becoming.
Mm-hmm.
Through this process, we achieve her. Through her, we achieve her. It's so beautiful.
Amazing. Didn't think about it in this manner, that you have the dynamic aspect represented through through Mother Kali and Durga and Lakshmi. And ultimately, you have to reach the stage of Saraswati to become one with Sai.
To become one with Sai.
Amazing.
So much to think about in this, in one beautiful bhajan like this. And then your mind becomes so crystal clear and brilliant, you know.
And when you were talking about this Ashtanga Yoga, I was also just ruminating on how bhajan is such a cleansing experience. You mentioned, you know, how it, just by being in a bhajan session, you are cleansed unconsciously also many times.
Yes.
And that is what Mother Durga does. Durgati Nashini Durga.
Durgati Nashini. Yeah.
Durgati Nashini Durga. So you know, all that is not pleasant in us. As Mother Durga, he cleanses our being from all that is unwanted.
Yes.
And through a bhajan, we can experience the faces of the mother as Saraswati, Durga and Lakshmi.
The killing of the Mahishasura in us.
In us, yes. Because we always, you know, all those tendencies that we have accumulated over so many janmas.
Yeah, yeah.
And you need sometimes a ferocious form of the goddess like Kali to kill all that is... evil sinners, habits which do not die so easily, tendencies which need a lot of intimidation and power to keep them down, to subdue them and overpower them. You need someone like, every time you need the form of love which is fierce.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes you need the fierce form of love. Just like God took the form of, Narasimha Avatar, now you have Mother taking the form of Kali to kill Mahishasura.
And then riding a lion.
On a lion.
One way, if you look at it, the lion also symbolizes virya, courage and
courage,
all that.
Yes.
But at the same time, Swami, at another point of time, Swami said, it's just winning over the animal instinct in you.
Yes.
So instead of becoming Pashu, you become Pashupati.
Yes. The mother rides on
it. The mother rides on it, on the lion.
Yes. And another way also to think about it is, you know, there are these qualities which are rajasic in us.
Yes.
Okay. So the mother takes the help of these rajasic qualities.
Yeah.
To subdue that is tamasic, which is the...
So beautiful.
Mahishasura and that bull.
Yeah.
Right? So, here actually there are a lot of tendencies in us, rajasic tendencies, there is this courage, there is this ambition, there is this, we have all these different instincts which make us achieve things and, you know, the drive, creativity, whatever, energy.
Exactly.
But those perhaps are given to us to be utilized to subdue the demonic, and then become sattvic.
Yeah.
I think and God has, you know, through that example of the imagery of the goddess on the lion, Swami is telling us this is how you should utilize this.
Yes.
And then get victory over all that is evil in you.
Beautiful.
I think that is something
very
something very powerful. Because I remember once one brother asked Bhagwan, Swami, why is it that we have all these tendencies in us? He said, Swami, why did you give all that? Sometimes you are not in control at that age. So why did you give all that? It is you who has put everything into us.
Yeah, you have programmed everything.
You have programmed everything. So Bhagwan said, no, it is the all these qualities, sattva, raja and tamas, all are needed for creation.
Yeah.
Everything is needed and everything is given in equal measure. It is up to you how you utilize it.
Yeah, how you blend it.
Blend it and utilize it. Everybody is given all. So that is, everything is needed for creation.
Yeah.
It is not as if tamas is bad or rajas is bad. No. Everything has to be utilized
so
properly.
Beautiful. Yeah. And then ultimately become gunatit, to go beyond that.
Go beyond that.
Which is the goal of life.
Amazing. But the most beautiful thing is, nobody need to know all this thought process. Nobody need to think along these lines. Nobody need to ruminate even like this.
Yeah.
They just have to sing a bhajan with heartfelt devotion.
Exactly. And then if we have made a habit of, going into the meaning of the bhajan properly, like understanding the inner significance of every word in that bhajan. And then every day, if you make a habit of doing that, the moment we sing that bhajan, we become totally aligned to this beautiful thought process. We don't have to really spend time thinking about each aspect. But the moment we sing the bhajan, because of the familiarity that we would have developed with these profound thoughts given to us by Bhagwan, that it cleanses us beautifully. Otherwise, it just becomes a mere song being sung out there. And then people would rather think of the technicalities. I still remember Swami telling us that when you listen to good music, then you sit there to listen to that good music. You shut off your analytical mind. Stop analyzing. Just sit and receive it. And when you do that, without really taking into account how the person is singing and how the song is being sung and the technical aspects of the song, then you won't enjoy. So here too, these things should be so well ingrained in us, these bhajans, for every bhajan singer, because I believe that it's only the Satya Sai Avatar who has instilled this love for bhajan singing among the devotees to the extent that everybody has become a singer. Either inside or outside.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Whether leading the bhajan or following the bhajan, everyone, definitely those who are following bhajan also, they would like to lead bhajan.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people who really cry, very genuinely they cry and say that I am not allowed to, I am not being allowed to sing bhajan, they are not allowing me. So, this is a new type of awakening. People wanting to sing bhajan. Yesterday people would shy, from even singing in public.
Correct.
But today, so bold enough to sing bhajan.
Yes.
But then apart from now, that is half the battle won. The other part of the truth is that we need to go deep into the meaning of the bhajans.
Yes.
And get them totally ingrained in our system of thinking. So that when we sing the bhajan, we don't have to think at all.
We don't have to think.
We will just close the analytical mind, no more mind, just enjoy the bhajan and flow with the bhajan.
Amazing. And two thoughts come to my mind in the sense that for one to not think about the technicality of the bhajan in the first instance, you should have practiced the bhajan so many times that at that point in time, you are not thinking about the beat, you are not thinking about am I in Shruti, am I singing the tune well. Those thoughts will not surface in your mind at all, because you have sung it so many times inwardly that you have become thorough with the lyrics and the tune. That is the first step. But now what you are saying is you should have also, while singing, contemplated the bhajan so many times that even that bhava element, even whatever thoughts has to come, even that thinking should not happen while you are singing.
Not at all.
You should just sing.
Yes.
Perhaps with a blank
With an empty mind,
you just go to the Lord and just offer whatever comes. will come because of all that journey that you have had, you have made.
Yeah, exactly.
With the bhajan.
Exactly.
Till then. That's amazing.
Singing with an empty mind. When Swami says, nothing is everything. Everything is nothing.
Only when we go to Him with that state, can He fill us with
exactly
peace and bliss.
Exactly. And this miracle can happen any moment, any time, in anyone's life. Someone being touched by Him and a bhajan being manifested through Him. Like, it can happen anytime.
Yes. And that's how I think you have so many bhajans being composed by people who are not musicians or,
not at all, yeah.
Or artists or singers, you know.
Exactly. This is how Sai bhajans are manifested.
Amazing. I think that's how Bhagwan, right from the time He started the avatar route, you know, He started with the bhajan because He knew this is the way for the salvation of mankind.
Exactly. And in this bhajan itself, the next line, Jagato Dharinima, Sai Kripa Karima.
Yes.
How beautiful, what a beautiful end to this bhajan.
Yes.
Jagato Dharinima. Now, a little bit of, you know, glorifying the mother, that you are the one who sustains this whole creation. Jagato Dharinima, Sai Kripa Karima. And at the end, just a small prayer.
Yeah.
Please bestow your grace on me. What a beautiful bhajan.
Amazing. Beautiful, sir.
And another thing that I just, it came to my mind, you know, when you talk about the mother, a mother is always benign and beautiful.
Yes.
And even to an erring child, who, you know, the mother always looks, she is the very epitome of beauty.
Yes.
The very epitome of forgiveness, you know. But to a child who would have really done some mistake, the mother also suddenly looks very ferocious.
Mm.
Because then she is in the garb of a person who is going to punish the child.
Yes.
Some punitive action. So exactly the same, in the same parlance we look at the mother, for those who are wrongdoers, she is the very nemesis of these such people.
Yes.
But then those who are all the time chanting her name and doing the right things, they can all the time look up to her as mother. But even for the wrongdoer, she is still the mother.
Yes, because Jagato Dharani, she uplifts everyone.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Beautiful and blissful. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Swami.
So that was Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, a former student of Baba's University, someone whom Swami has personally trained, guided, instructed and inspired to not only compose many Sai bhajans but also engage himself relentlessly in this mission of the dissemination of the power of bhajan singing.